Ian Shapira is the Enterprise reporter for the Washington Post, who has generated a great deal of attention at the Virginia Military Institute, his series of stories on VMI. And Ian is with us this morning. I appreciate you being willing to come on. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Good to be on here again. Thanks.
Yeah. Now, did you hear my interview with the 1985 graduate of VMI who started the Political Action Committee to try to influence legislators to, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but to protect some of the traditions of the school?
Yeah, I heard that interview, and it had come after a couple articles I had written about some news developments at the school, but the interview with him was interesting to me. I mean, I had seen it that group being formed, but I didn't know much about it.
You've published indicated that there is a resistance within the school to the investigators, and I guess it's an outside law firm that's been hired by the state to come in. What is it that you've uncovered? What is the assertion there?
Well, I didn't uncover anything. It was what the law firm had reported.
Okay.
To be fair to the school, I don't. There was resistance initially to having the school initially wanted its lawyers present with students and their employees. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're doing interviews with the law firm, they then backed off that desire basically eventually, but it was a source of tension between the law firm and the school, and I think things are now rolling, but it did delay the investigation.
And the cadets can still have their own attorney present if they want someone that they choose to represent them. Is that?
I believe that's the case, that they can have their own personal attorney if they want. But according to the last report that came out in March, the law firm has been struggling to get cadets to sit for interviews, basically. And I think they do them by Zoom. I don't think they're going on campus. But
what do you attribute that to, or do you have any insight? Is it the individual students making that decision, or do you think it's pressure institutionally or culturally?
You know, I don't know. I think again, to VMI's credit, particularly Superintendent Wins, who is you've gone out of his way to encourage people to participate. So I can't say for sure why cadets are reluctant to sit for interviews. They might fear that they might still face retribution regardless. I mean, you know, I, as someone who's been interviewing current cadets at the school for the last several months, it's not like you can just call them up and it's just easy peasy. You know, it takes a lot of trust. You have to earn that trust with them.
Well, that was my next question. What has it been like for you, and how are you getting these interviews? Are they all off the record, or do you meet them on campus?
No.
Zoom calls?
They're just we do phone calls. I mean, whatever works. It's a mix of things that are on the record, on background, or off the record. It's as any reporter would interview people in this kind of situation who are fearful of getting in trouble. But many of them, you know, many of the articles I've written, most of the people that have been, you know, they're mostly these are named people who are in the big articles. But it's what's interesting, I think, is that, you know, if you ask me what it's been like, I mean, I think what's been troubling and disturbing to see is some of the backlash you see to basic journalism that you see online, you know, on the Facebook groups for VMI alumni, and even in the spirit of VMI PAC. They put out a post yesterday on their Facebook page promoting this interview right now. And you can see on the comment section, people who are fully named, and these are VMI alumni. You know, one is, you know, on their Facebook page. I mean, one guy identifies as a former colonel in the U.S. Marine Corps, and he's, he wrote a pretty nasty line in there about how you could be enticed to verbally rip this reporter a new blank out live on TV, actually, he said. So my point is that you see a lot of anger from VMI alumni, and I think a lot of them have taken this very personally. And it's not personal, it's journalistic.
Well, when we first talked, we're talking to Ian Shapiro, the Washington Post reporter who's spent the last several months covering Virginia Military Institute. One of the things that I brought up with you was, maybe I'm biased. I acknowledge my grandfather went to VMI, and I've heard stories of VMI my whole life, and many of my classmates at St. Christopher's went to VMI. So I just have a different perspective on what someone who arrives at VMI should expect. But one of the questions I asked you was, are you finding stories of especially African-American or minority cadets who are ripped out of bed in the middle of the night and physically abused in a way? I mean, it's kind of an abusive culture, which is to prepare you to be an officer, or that's the way it always was explained to me. Are they being abused and mistreated in a way that other cadets are not, based on their race or based on some sort of discriminatory characteristic? And one of the things that struck me with the links that you sent me to some of the stories that you filed was an attack, a verbal attack on a cadet where one of the seniors said, I'm going to lynch you and use your body as a punching bag. And I'm sure that comes off as, oh my God, how could that be said to a student today, until you calculate in to it occurring in the process that VMI uses to shock and awe everyone in the institute so that they are unflappable. You know, a lot of people ask, why are military people unflappable? You just can't move them off a dime here. I think they would argue that this is one of the ways they achieve that. And I wanted to ask you whether you found other circumstances like that, especially that went physical, that were abusive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've, there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. One is, it doesn't matter whether it's physical or verbal. It's the racism that Black students say they have experienced on that campus for decades, by the way, right? Is harmful, whether it's physical or verbal.
Yeah, right? But part of that is, not to interrupt you, and I want you to finish, but part of that is identifying what's actually racial, like saying I'm going to lynch someone. Could you argue that that has overt racial overtones? Sure you could, but I just wonder whether you found people who were saying, I was called the N-word, I was abused because I was Black on this campus. That would alarm me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, you definitely have found that racial slurs have been common. Mm-hmm. In fact, the law firm investigating this to the school issued, when its most recent report issued, the headline from that report was that it is and was a common experience to hear racial slurs among VMI cadets, including the use of the N-word, over the past 25 years. Mm-hmm. So yes, that has been there for a long time. And look,
including right now in the last 5 or 6 years, because I mean, there is a big culturally there's a big difference between America 25 years ago and today, I think. But what have you found
my reporting from back in October when I wrote about this issue back then was, yes, it still goes on now. And you see it, and I mean you see it on the Yodel app, and I know just the other day I saw the N-word surface, and the other night they were, someone was ripping, Judaism. I mean, and it's an abusive, platform that, constantly denigrates women on the campus, who they call sheeds, which is short for she-dets. Right. So it's, there is an array of insults that go on there. It's important, I think, to mention that, because I think a lot of listeners out there may be wondering why is the media so focused on VMI? Well, one, it's a state institution, right? It receives $19 million a year in annual funds, and which is why the PAC formation was interesting to me, because as concerned as VMI people might be about their status, I mean, they got more funding this year. They got more in state funds this year than they did last year, and they also got, more than $30 million for a new aquatic center. So, from the state. So they're not in any kind of financial trouble, at least immediately right now. So, and this is not a private school. So when we talk about when people complain about the scrutiny about its drum out ceremonies or whatever else, people have to ask themselves, what does the average taxpayer in Virginia think about the drum out ceremony? Is that something that they want to pay for? Because that's what they're doing, right?
Right.
They're
Do you mind if we spend a minute talking about that? Because there have been a number of stories about the drum out ceremony. This is when someone is found guilty of violating the honor code, as I understand it, lying, cheating, stealing, or tolerating someone on the campus who does that. And they're awakened in the middle of the night and basically walked out of the barracks. I guess they're not there personally anymore, but their name is spoken, and the rest of the cadets are told, you will not speak this person's name. It's humiliating. It's awful, I'm certain. And I have one personal acquaintance who was drummed out of VMI, and it still haunts him to this day. But is that, why is that something that everyone is, who is a critic of the school, is so focused on? What is the premise that that...
Well, so yeah, so let me just go back. So yes, for years, the ceremony dates back to at least 1910. And when, you know, back in the olden days, they, you know, the actual, the person who was expelled was actually present for the ceremony. And they were called a prisoner, according to the college paper, and they were brought out before the corps, stripped of his uniform, and ministered a thorough beating upon his posterior. The ceremony has evolved. Now the person, as you said, is gone. And a few weeks ago, they had their first drum out, and they no longer pronounce the name of the cadet or cadets who are the subject of the drum out ceremony. When I interviewed Major General Wins about this this ceremony back in January, he said that one of their concerns was whether or not the identification of cadets violated federal privacy laws when, under the Education Department's policies. So they've done, but they've done away with it. They've consulted their lawyers, and they've, for whatever reason, they decided to get rid of the identification. The reason why it's so, the reason why people are up in arms about this ceremony is because, as you said, it is deeply shaming to the to the student involved. The school doesn't think that it's shaming. Right. They say that the cadet is not there. How could it be humiliating? But if you actually talk to people, as you have, who have been drummed out, they remember it and they're deeply haunted by it, as you say. I have interviewed many people who've been drummed out. And in today's climate, in today's generation, people take videos of these things and or record them with their phones, and they send them to the person who got drummed out. So it's even worse. Right. So these are not like, and so if my point is that, again, this is a state institution, right? They receive public funds. Should the taxpayers be funding this? That's a question.
But don't these young people know when they sign up that this is the potential consequence for breaking these particular rules? So is it incumbent upon us to be concerned about that on this end?
Sure. I mean, there's people sign up to do all kinds of things, but again, but that doesn't prohibit them from trying to change institutions. Right? This isn't a private country club. This is a state-run, this is a state school that receives state funds, you know.
Well, they'd probably argue that it's the exact opposite of a country club, and that some of the critics are trying to make it more like a country club, that they don't want it to be. They want to have the highest standards and be hyper-aggressive.
And it's definitely not a country club, but what I meant by that is that I think people think of it as a private institution. It is not a private institution.
Right. Okay. I get your point on that. Okay.
And it's like, the question is basically, should a taxpayer in Virginia be funding a ceremony like this, which is no other Federal Service Academy does, no other military school does. It's only VMI. And the question is this, what purpose does it serve? Where does this, and I'm not saying whether the school should keep it or not. I'm raising questions. Questions that other people have raised.
Yeah. Listen, I'm out of time. I appreciate you coming on. I do appreciate that whenever I talk about this, you respond very politely to what I've said on the air, and I'm happy to continue the dialogue with both you and the supporters of VMI as well, because I think it's an important story here in Virginia. Ian Shapiro, the writer for the Washington Post, who has focused pretty extensively for the last several months on Virginia Military Institute. Thanks, and I'm sure we'll talk again.